Hard to believe, y'all, but at one time, Adolf Hitler was crushing it. he was holding it down.
Yeah,
a lot of people think, see, that's the thing about America. You know, we like to put our spin on it, man. Like,
Man,
you know, Adolf Hitler, he was a bitch, man. He wasn't doing nothing. He was a loser. He didn't do shit. No, that's not true, boy. I hate to say it, and I don't mean no offense to anybody, but shit, Adolf was holding it down.
Hell yeah,
superstar.
He was almost shit. He almost had Europe. He was slowly creeping control over Europe. And even had y'all old British ass down at one time. Y'all look cocky too.
Oh, he had his boot on their necks.
Yeah, see, I'd like to think today, like, you know, because Hitler lost, everybody think they made him lose. No, shit. No, Hitler was about to have y'all on his nuts, man, over there. And a lot of people, they said, look, this is the only way, this man is crazy. He's got all these. I heard that he's got all these new machines. He's got super soldiers. I heard he's got fucking zombies. You know,
spirit destiny.
Hitler's a fool. He's got a whole bunch of supernaturals working on his side. Man, he made a deal with Satan. We can't compete with this man. Listen, let's make a deal, which means let's just bend over and let him fuck us.
Yeah.
But old Winston Churchill, he said, which means hell no. He said, y'all might be some bitches. In fact, y'all are, man. What I need some thugs.
Right.
He said, I don't need no gentlemen up in here. I need some hardcore thugs on this shit. Some dudes who would just, they're willing to risk it all. And they want to, as long as, you know, because they're the kind of dudes that are like, just give me a chance to do what I love to do. Kill.
Right.
Blow
up
shit. You know, just
get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, just cause destruction and mayhem. That's what I do best. Give me the job and we'll get it done. And lo and behold, that is exactly what Winston Churchill said. He says, I got a secret weapon, but because the old bitch ass government don't want to be on my side and everything, I got to keep y'all secret. So if you get caught, I never knew y'all. I ain't going down with y'all.
It's Mission Impossible 1.0.
Exactly. If the Nazis get you, well, you know, even better.
They're going to torture you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's not on me anymore.
Man, I don't know you.
Yeah. Right. So he created the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare as if it ever was.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them.
Let's go!
They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
This is an unsanctioned, unauthorized mission. If we fail, England will be condemned to a lifetime under the German boot.
And so I said, that is not a dog. That is my wife!
It's very good.
Your operation are reckless.
Abort this mission now.
Hello, can't hear you.
Please do off.
So this is as the saying goes in Hollywood, based on a true story.
I did not know that before walking in.
No, I knew that beforehand. I read about this.
Why did I even bother
with
that?
I know. And these are some guys that actually did, based on a true story, as it says right here, these are some guys that actually did stop Hitler's reign of tyranny and terror upon the world when he was actually inching in the control most of Europe. And that's Winston Churchill, not the real one right there, but that is the man who created this Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. As far as the true story goes, yes, this is based on a real figure. Let me see here. You have Henry Cavill, who plays real life figure right here, Gus March Phillips, the man who led this mission. Is based on a real mission where these guys were sent in on a covert adventure to secretly take out Hitler's U-boats. And these U-boats were Hitler's biggest assets. They were delivering weapons over to a certain island. I forgot the name of the island in the movie, but there was a place that was really hard to actually get control of and fight in that area. And a lot of weaponry and equipment were getting there. And these guys were sent in to, if they took out that those U-boats, or at least took out one of the U-boats, and then they had a chance to kind of even the playing field. Not only that, but not to stroke America's ego here, not at all, but it would bring in America into the war and actually give everybody more of a fighting chance. Actually, it would be leaning in everybody's favor against Hitler.
Yeah, those U-boats were the terror of the sea, and they were taking out the British Navy. And America was like, we'd like to come help you, but we ain't looking to get blown up by U-boats.
Exactly.
So as long as that's there, I don't know if we're coming. So it's like, hey, get rid of this U-boat problem, get America in, and maybe we have a fighting chance.
And just like everything else, they heard that the U-boats turned into robots and shit. They didn't take we don't want to fight that, sir. Also, March Gus Phillips is, I'm not going to say who it is, but if you see the movie, you'll find out. This story was somebody said it's history to the extreme. This story was so extreme and so crazy but was true that this man here, the real life figure, he became the model or the influence for a certain very, very popular pop culture figure. Mm-hmm. Won't say who it is. If you see the movie, then you'll know. But
I don't think that's a spoiler, though, is it?
Well, I'm not going to say anything because somebody will say it anyway. I ain't going to say anything at all. But I will say this. So this again, based on a true story. And as you can see from this movie being a Guy Ritchie film, this movie is is so over the top. That some people, listen, if somebody said, man, you make a mockery of these war heroes right here, you know, I'd be like, okay, I can see that. Because that's how crazy this film is, man. This film is, I'll put it this way. I'm sure that the real man that I just told you about, March Gus Phillips, I'm sure he didn't run into the room shooting people with his tongue hanging out like this.
Hell no.
Like he in a damn heavy metal band.
Right. So, you know, I have a hard time believing that any of these people were as bloodthirsty
right.
as
characters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you know, I doubt they look like this. I doubt they were, you know, as big as some of these people. I doubt some of them were even Asian. It's been black.
You don't have to doubt it. They show you the pictures at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a funny thing about that, about those pictures. I'll tell you later.
You know, and listen, could Hollywood have made this more serious? Yeah, they could have. They could have probably made this more serious. Look like that.
Yeah, look at that right there.
Oh, you think it could have been more serious?
Yeah, they could have made this more serious. I mean, look at it. No, they could have. They probably could have made this more serious. They probably could have made this Oscar worthy. You know, they could have tried to do that. But let's just face it. Even if they had made this more serious, they still would have been lying. They still would have been making up shit.
Yeah. So if you're gonna lie big.
Yeah. Man, just if you're gonna lie, if you're gonna make up shit, just go crazy with it, all right?
They dead anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just, and besides, this is exactly the story. This sounds like the story that, like, it's such a story itself that it begs for Hollywood to give it the Hollywood treatment. You know, because this is the stuff that, you know, old radio serials, TV serials, TV shows, movies, comic books, video games, you know, this is the kind of stuff that those things are made of. This is the kind of adventure. This is the kind of, this is the kind of pulp that this stuff is made of, man. And that's what they did here. You know, that even at its darkest moments in the movie, for better or for worse, it's never asked you to take it too seriously. You know, and it's funny watching, Guy Ritchie, as a filmmaker over the years, grow as a filmmaker over the years, because he started out as, and I mean this as a compliment, I don't know what else to say, I don't mean it as an insult, but he started out as an excellent Tarantino knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is where people first heard of Guy Ritchie. But then he's gone on to make a lot of movies with a lot of different tones. You know, he's gone on to make spy movies, his own spy films, his own Bond type films, mystery adventure, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
You know, he's made a serious war movie. You know, he's even made a kid's movie, you know, Aladdin.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
That was him?
Yeah, yeah. But you would never know because it's a studio movie.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I don't feel Guy Ritchie on that movie.
Yeah, you know, listen, when you work with Disney, you don't feel like nobody except that mouse.
Yeah. You just come in, sit, get behind the camera, and do what we tell you to do.
In fact,
the movie's already done. We just need you to sit there so we can take some publicity photos.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people still today don't know that Guy Ritchie directed this. And he directed this because he wanted to make a movie for his kids. So, you know, cool.
He wanted to make some money.
Yeah, right.
This shit come about one of my kids.
Aladdin, Will Smith, yeah. Come on.
Okay. Well, your kids are very profitable, aren't they? Yeah, man. Boy, I'm glad I got these kids for something, man. So, you know, with this, the Tarantino comparison kind of comes full circle because you're not going to be able to look at this without saying to yourself, Inglourious Bastards.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And on some level, as crazy as Inglourious Bastards is, this movie, well, I just say it takes a different approach. Now, you know, this movie, by all means, is very much, as I said before, it is a pulp comic book war story, okay? It's not, it ain't, you know, it's not a pulp movie. It's a pulp comic book movie, all right? And at some point, it happily, it says, you know what? I mean, this comic book thing is cool, but I feel like being a video game now.
You know? Yeah.
And matter of fact, it reminds me of a video game I used to play way back in the day where you play, like you were on a mission with a bunch of like explosives guy and a sniper, and it was all about running these kind of missions. I wish I could remember the name of it because I bought that first one and the second one.
Oh, I know the name of it. Every fucking game out there features a group of guys trying to take down something.
Yeah.
You know, a heist, a war movie, crime film, a bank robbery. All of it has the same guys doing the same thing. And I say video game right here because it does feel like a live video game adaptation sometimes. When you have Alan Ritchson, who plays the character of Anders here, he's a big old Dutch guy that uses arrows to take people out. So he takes Nazis out with such perfect precision that it really does feel like you're watching probably maybe a PlayStation 6 game. Like
the
graphics are amazing, you know, but it still feels like a video game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Where it takes no time for him to notch a new arrow.
Right, yeah.
Like,
he
shoots, and next time you look over, it's already there, ready for the next
one. Yeah, all his attributes all maxed out.
Oh, yeah. His physical attributes.
Everything's maxed out.
His weapon is maxed out. Yeah, you know, I mean, shit, even Hawkeye's talking about, fuck!
But I take your job, buddy.
Yeah, it's like you had some cheat codes when you.
Grand Theft Auto cheat codes on it, man.
Yeah, if y'all ever use the crossbow or arrow in a game like Far Cry or something like that, y'all know how it is. You just keep shooting that shit and you got like the aim assist and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it feels like that.
Yeah.
And there's even a part in here where they start using a gamer terms. You know, I'm sure that they probably used this word back in the day, but and you hear it. I'll let you see if you can hear the word in this clip right here. But they even start using video game terminology before they go full video game in a scene.
What's the name of this man?
Sounds like stealth mode's over.
Easy, Chow!
So that's the part of the game where you take over the turret gun and just
throw everybody out.
After stealth mode stops working, you know, once you get discovered. Oh, well, I can just buy this machine gun.
Okay.
Kill streak of 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I've gone through this so many times. In fact, he said what I say. Well, stealth mode is done. I'm caught. And I do this shit.
And you
right,
get behind
right,
a big
right
machine
here.
Gun like that
yeah.
and hit. With every bullet, no one survived. No one missed a chance to shoot back.
He didn't miss a single bullet.
No, not at all. That's Henry Golden right there, man. Crazy Rich Asians. Now he's just Crazy Asian.
He's moved on.
Yeah, he's moved on. He's just taking people out. But I tell you what I liked about. If I move on to y'all, I think okay. So I'm talking about how you know, this is something like Inglourious Basterds. And it is over the top like Inglourious Basterds in certain ways. But unlike Inglourious Basterds, I think it takes out some of the gimmickry that's in that. Like, it takes out pop culture nods to different time periods. Like in Inglourious Basterds, this turned into a 70s film at one point, mm-hmm. you know, with 70s font on the screen. You know, it takes out some of all the movie references, you know. There's definitely some geek cinema stuff going on in here, but they don't stop the movie to reference a certain film or, you know, make a whole scene out of, you know, movie history like Tarantino does. Not even saying that's bad. You know, I'm just saying compared to Inglourious Basterds, believe it or not, this feels just a little more grounded.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I mean, I'm saying compared to.
Oh, compared to.
Yeah, compared to. Compared to.
Okay, okay.
Because what I'm saying is like, this is, you know, because this feels more where Inglourious Basterds feels like a Tarantino movie. This feels more old fashioned. This feels more like something like The Dirty Dozen, or The Dirty Seven, or whatever you have right here in this movie. It feels like The Dirty Dozen, or, you know, a war film like that that's a little more cranked up, of course. Like I said, it's a comic book movie, but, you know, like I said, Tarantino's in his own world. This is a little more traditional in a way. So, you know, so if you know that going into it, I think it's something that can be very much enjoyed. Not without his, you know, again, some criticisms, like maybe what I'm just telling you with this being a comic book movie, maybe that's not for you in your war film. You know, maybe you just got out of Civil War and that's more your thing. But there's other things that I could point out here that I thought, or I think might be something that might not be for everybody. Definitely with some criticisms from me in that area. But what do you guys think?
You bring up a good point. You have to go into this knowing what you're getting into. And it does start off like it's going to be more of a straightforward, you know, kind of gonzo war movie. And you might not be prepared for the cartoon video game that it quickly becomes once they really get going. But if you know that and you're fine with it, then you can have fun. I mean, the movie mostly trades on the charisma of the leads. Yeah. Especially like, hey, everybody loves Jack Reacher and Superman. Right. So you come in, you already like those guys, and everybody else is fine. You know, it's a fun movie, or at least a fun-ish movie. I think you can go with it and enjoy it, but there's also a thing it has in that video gameness, in that. It starts to feel like there's not really stakes because everybody's invincible. And it's one thing when your characters always win, but it's another thing when they never lose. Like, there's nothing they do that doesn't work out perfectly. And it's kind of fun at first because you like these guys, but after a while, it's almost kind of just a little bit boring because you're like, all right, well, nothing's going to happen. And everything they say they're going to do, even when they say like, oh, wait, this might not work out. You're like, yeah, it will. I'm not even worried about you guys. So I think the first half is stronger than the second half. Now, I will say in the second half, something that does really shine is Isa Gonzalez, her role as the woman, the female in it, which they say, oh, you're going to be the seducer, which you're like, wow, that's really reductive. But she does a lot, and she has a great musical number, and I think she brings home a lot of what's strong in the second half.
Yeah. I think, well, were you going
to
say something?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot to, like, a lot of fun to have you watch while watching this movie. It's funny, I didn't know what the movie was even about. My friend Joe, we were talking about talking about this movie. He's like, yeah, the movie's just straight up about just killing Nazis. I was like, shit, I'm down to watch it.
Everybody want
to
watch Nazis get killed,
right? Fuck yeah.
I'm like, especially when they look like that.
But yeah, I'm with you. The first half, I think, is better than the second half. One thing that really kind of dragged it down for me was the characters. I feel like the characters weren't that strong in this one.
They're pretty hollow.
Yeah. That's what I wish was better.
Well, see, that's some of my complaints. Y'all already hit on some of my complaints right here. When I say this is traditional, might be too traditional, as in over-familiar, predictable. You know, we've seen all these archetypes before. As I was telling Martin, you know, you've seen all these from soldiers to, you know, like I said, you know, like the Inglourious Basterds are, you know, the Dirty Dozen. You know, we've seen him in there. But then, you know, you've seen him all the way to TV shows like The A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, because it's the usual. I mean, listen, I mean, it really is. It is the typical team members that we know. Like, if I was to look at The A-Team right here, The A-Team has the cigar chomping smart ass leader. So does this. A-Team got the muscle. So does this. You know, the 18 got the crazy guy. Well, they're all crazy, but they do have one that's particularly crazy than everybody else. Also, he's the demolition guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the crazy guy who loves playing with explosives and fire. That's the guy that we have here in this movie, too. We got that. They got, you know, one guy's probably the brains. They got a getaway guy. Mm-hmm. So either, you know, see these types or, you know, we see these types from this movie or we see them from all kind of things. Like I said, we've seen them from everywhere, from a bank robber movie to a heist film to, you know, soldiers on a mission. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing you haven't seen before. Mix them, match them. You know, they're it's all the same.
Not sure it's working, Lassen. Captain looks rather agitated. They're bringing their guns to bear.
They'll find their range soon, sir.
Ready? Should we be worried?
Oh, I don't think so, sir. It's a rather large explosive, so I set a rather large fuse.
I located the outside of the powder room, so when it goes bang, it really should go bang.
Hello, sir.
Should be any second now, chaps.
Ready? Good work, Frederick.
You know, I agree with you on something where everyone is such a badass that it reached a point where I just stopped worrying about them. I didn't say I had to stop caring about them. I just thought, y'all gonna be all right. Yeah. You know, it's just, I'm not, you know, it took some of the suspense out of things. So, like I said, the suspense was gone. It became predictable. You know, what happens here is these people are fine. You know, they find some big ass gun to take everybody out. You know, everybody, you know, I got to a point, shit, I was more worried about the Nazis. I ain't never rooted for the Nazis, but I was like, run, y'all. Shit. I don't like Nazis, but for some reason, I was like, fuck, y'all in trouble, man.
Yeah, y'all don't have a chance.
Y'all need some help. You know, but, you know, if somebody's in a tough situation, they're going to get out of it by a last minute save or a cool ass move that they got, you know. Mm-hmm. So nobody was really in trouble here. The good thing is that after looking at this clip right here with these guys, you know, it just made me think I might not have worried about these guys. I might not even really care about them that much, but I did have fun with them. You know, it's not like the characters took me out the movie. It's not like I didn't like them. You know, there's a difference between really caring about characters and being concerned and being, you know, having tension behind the fate of these characters. And then there's a point of just hanging out, you know, and I just felt like I was just hanging out with these characters after a moment and just having a good time with them.
I get that.
And plus, everyone has the moment to shine. Now, I've seen movies like this where somebody is like, hey, look, man, I'm sorry. We just got too much going on. You know, mm-hmm. I'll give you a line or two. And if you can't work with that, then I don't know what to tell you. But with this, you know, there were some characters that I thought would be side characters that end up having their moment to shine too. You know, I'm looking at some of the characters here, like my man here, Babs Olusanmokun. I think that's how you say his name. He's in Dune right now. Is where if you've seen him, that's where you probably mm-hmm. recognize him. But I thought, well, you know, he's had a good run in this movie, but he's old and black.
Yeah.
So, the first one.
So it's gonna be a moment where he's gonna take one for the team. And y'all go on without me now. I'll hold the Nazis back. And I ain't saying he's old, but my movie standards compared to these characters. Yeah. Oh, go on, gentlemen. Y'all got y'all. But no, the dude's a badass in the movie.
Yeah.
He does some badass shit.
He does a lot of cool badass moments in this movie, and the same goes with your girl. Yeah, your girl here who, Elsa Gonzalez. Isa Gonzalez. Isa Gonzalez, whose real life counterpart was an actual movie star. So that's kind of a fascinating story. But I thought, all right, well, she's going to have to use her ass and titties to save the day. And it's like, nah. I mean, she kind of did, but nothing. She had to show anything. She didn't have to go, you know, and overly be over-sexualized. You know, there were moments where she held it down, too, with her action bits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the one thing about the movie that I thought was kind of cool, because when you see this, you think that it's going to be mostly about these nut jobs here, these, you know, these sociopaths out there killing. We're going to be hanging out with them. No, the movie actually splits it out in equal amounts of time for these different parts of these people when they go off into, you know, into different subplots of different factions,
side missions.
Yeah. You know, everybody had that time to do things, man. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, they give it as much screen time as Henry Cavill's crew right here. You know, and they're all giving their badass moments, as improbable as they may be. You know, I would also say this, the tension might not be high, but I do think it has thrills. There's a part in the second half where, you know, at this point we're thinking like, you know, these guys, hey, you know, they're all badasses. They're all invincible. They're all doing their thing. I didn't think I'd be worried about them that much. And I just sit back and just kind of watch casually or passively. But there's a part in the third act where they have to steal something. And it's kind of thrilling. They steal in the middle of the night where there's a lot going on. They're being shot at the same time. And even though I didn't think anything was really going to go wrong, I thought like, man, this is actually kind of thrilling and fun to watch. And that's my whole thing with this. As long as it's fun, as long as it's fun for me, you know, I can't speak for everybody else, but I was like, as long as I'm having fun with this, I could ask for more. You know, that's fine. But sometimes it's okay to just sit back and enjoy, as I said, just this pulp comic adventure that's going on. And Henry Cavill's having a ball with this, man. He's like, you're like, shit, maybe finally something's going to hit for me. You know, he's having fun being an anti-authority rogue and just an outright dick. Like, he really is an asshole to people sometimes, mm-hmm. man. But not to the point where he's unlikable. He's just the kind of guy, you know, like there's some people, he steals cigars and tries to offer some to some guys. And the guys are like, oh, okay. He's like, fuck you. You know, I was like, oh, no, you got to be like that. That's not cool. You know, and I will say this on a technical level, I really enjoyed this movie. And I think that's kind of what won me over. Mm. If the technical level wasn't here, then I probably would not be into the movie as much as I am. When I say technical level, I mean, yeah, you know, there's the stunts, the direction, the explosions, the, you know, the sets and all that kind of stuff. But you know me, I look at editing a lot. And I think that the editing was seamless in this, you know, weaves the story along very well. I look at editing a lot these days and how it's used to like just not push the story, but just, as I say, just seamlessly weave a story with visuals. And I think they do a great job with this. His editor is amazing in this. And I love the score. The score is, some of it is, a lot of it sounds like something you would hear in an Italian Western.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You probably heard a little bit of it in that clip I just played right here. You could hear it at the beginning of this clip. Oh, well, you know, you can't if I have the sound turned down. I love the way you just waving those sounds right there. But you could hear some of it at the beginning of this. Like if you've heard... If any of you are fans of Italian Westerns, or maybe in some of Tarantino's movies out there, you hear stuff that sounds like an Italian Western, and the score in this is great.
Not sure it's working, Lassen. Captain looks rather agitated.
Now, again, I thought that they were using something that didn't work with this period, maybe, or, you know, they're doing this pop culture thing here to be hip and be kind of cool and, you know, kind of movie geek, but the score worked with the characters in here very well. I don't, you know, at least for me, it did. I would say one thing, and I'm gonna pass on to y'all. I'm sure y'all will probably be in disagreement with me on this, but if there's one, and this
he
is
knows this,
yeah, it probably will be. But man, and this is not a nitpick, because I'm not saying that this brought the movie down. I'm not saying it's bad, and most people will probably not recognize it. The dude that played Winston Churchill, Rory Kinnear. The actor's fine. It's okay. He just looked fine to me. He looked like a man in makeup.
He's about the worst Winston Churchill I've ever seen.
Okay, thank you. All right.
If anything, you're right about all the technical stuff and how it keeps you in the movie, and you do like the characters. He kept taking me out of the movie. Yeah, he looked like a guy in makeup. And I know, you know, we so recently saw Gary Oldman win an Oscar for playing Churchill, which he did magnificently. And you can't expect that every time. But I was like, I ain't never seen a Winston Churchill who was so, so not Winston Churchill.
Oh, somebody said he looked like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks more
like Rush Limbaugh than Winston Churchill. Yeah, because the way he plays Winston Churchill, he's just that that blustery British dude. You know, he's like, okay, I said, that's, are you Winston Churchill or are you Richard Nixon?
Oh, I get it. You're going to a Halloween party dressed as Winston Churchill. I can still give you some pointers, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was, yeah, man, when he talked, I just laughed because I was just like, man, you're just a British stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so you don't want us to believe in anything? Yeah. Okay.
Shit, everything he said was just harum.
My heart kind of sank every time he came on screen because I was like, man, I'm trying to be into this and you are not making it easy.
Yeah, he took me out the movie. I got to tell you.
He wasn't in the movie much.
No, he wasn't. But I'm just saying,
it was enough to you.
When he was in there, though, I was just like, God damn, man.
Oh, here we go again.
I was like, man,
you again.
I'm not feeling you, man. That's all. You're bringing me down, man. I'm having fun with these dudes. And you're killing my buzz, man. You know, with all this rump and gruff and all that shit. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, man. I don't. Yeah. Go ahead. But I'll let y'all wrap it up and give you ratings and all that kind of stuff.
I agree with you about the technical stuff. And all that's done well. There's a lot of things in this movie to keep you in it, to keep you having fun with it. And while it's a Guy Ritchie movie, I see it's just as much a Jerry Bruckheimer movie, especially with all the action and the explosions. That film more like his kind of thing. When he produces a movie, that's what he's all about. It's funny because you can't help, especially you bringing up the Italian music in there. So many things, it just makes it to where you can't escape Inglorious Bastards. There's no doing it, you know, even if you try. And I'm not even a fan of Inglorious Bastards, but watch this made me give it a second thought. And I was like, you know what? I'm not a big fan of this movie, especially, you know, what they do with Hitler and all. But I think maybe I do like it a little bit better than this one. And it all comes down to the writing of the characters. You know, besides Christoph Waltz, everybody else in that movie, not everybody else, but so many of them, I got a real sense of their personality and their quirks and something to attach. Mm-hmm. And with these guys, yeah, they were fun, especially in the beginning. But this was like watching a movie where it starts out kind of funny, and you're like, oh man, I'm waiting for this to really get going. And you're like, huh. You know, it's fun, but it's never really funny. And they're trying for it. And that's, you know, I'm getting some chuckles here and there. But there was always this feeling of there should be more here. It's not that what I'm seeing is bad, but it just feels like there should be something else, something for me to really attach myself to. And coming out of it, I was like, you know, it was fine. It was all right. And yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it.
What'd you rate?
Oh, I would rate it a very, like an old movie. It's a very high rental.
All right.
Oh, shit. Well, like I said earlier, I didn't know what to expect before I walked into this. And once I started watching it, I just kind of took it for what it was. I was like, all right, man, this is a fun-ass killing Nazis movies. I'm pretty, there's plenty more of them where they're serious as shit. So I'm like, all right, I like this new turn on it. Or not a new turn, but another turn on it. Biggest thing for me was the characters. I like the characters. I just wish you got to know the characters a lot better. Cause it's kind of just like they just kind of brush over it. Like, all right, here's who this is. Here's the badass. You know what I'm saying? They're just, everybody's a specialty. And it's kind of like, I wish we just got to sit down and just know them. But no, they get right into the action. I feel like the action is the best part of the film. So I guess that's why they showcase it the most. But I wish they had done better with the characters. Also, I did feel the runtime. I think it's 2 hours, right? The movie's. Yeah. Like,
I think it's probably right at 2 hours.
Right. But yeah. I felt it. I felt like there could have been some scenes that could have been cut to at least better the pacing in this film. But, you know, end all, I had a lot of fun with it. I don't know if you will, but I did. I just give it a matinee.
Yeah, I am kind of in the. Julian, I'm kind of the same boat.
here we go.
No, man. That's you and me up there, man. No, I I would say that, listen, you know, when you're watching this, you will not be blown away by anything but the explosions in here.
They were blown away.
Yeah, exactly. They won't be blown away by anything but all the explosions, but you won't be blown away by anything original in this. It's very predictable, I was saying, but, you know, and it's also taken away from some of the tension, but like you said, man, like I was kind of, you could probably tell I'm leading up to it, this people. I think that this is very well suited to be a matinee film. You know, as I said, there's a lot of things they could have done with the writing to be better. And I agree with you, they could have fleshed out the characters a little bit more, whatnot. But I don't, you know, when I said that this is a pulp comic book, that's what they were aiming for, and that's where they really did succeed. If they had different goals or felt like they had different goals, I might be more harsh on this. But I had a lot of fun. That's all I can say. I just had fun with it. You know, if I'm not, if I had fun, I can, I can say that you've done your main job by entertaining me. You can always, there's always room for improvement, maybe, but you've done your main job by keeping me engaged and keeping me in the theater having fun with a lot of other people. And that's what this does right here. So, yeah, it's, I agree with you. It's a matinee. Yeah. Just straight up matinee.
It's funny, at the end of the movie, they started showing those damn pictures of everybody. And I was like, who the fuck? Because they don't look nothing like the fucking real guy.
Not even a look. I was like, man, who is who? And I went to see it, and they chose to cast my character as The Rock. I'd be like, man, fuck you guys. You don't care about me. You just want to make a movie.
Yeah, this movie is a straight up, listen, I don't like to use this term too much. It is a diversity hire. Because those real people ain't.
They don't look nothing like that.
Nobody was black. Nobody was Asian. Look, I thank you. but I'm like, damn, y'all, when they say based on truth, just stop.
Yeah, for real.
Because now y'all just, it ain't based on truth like that. The movie should start out with, y'all know what, I'm fucking lying.
Yeah. This was about some dudes and a woman who did something really important.
Yeah.
But we decided to tell it our way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
unlike his counterpart. Yeah, what the hell?
The end, I was like, you're doing yourself a disservice by showing us this. You should just put the words up there. And this person went on to do this.
Or what they should have done was have that picture, but also have Henry Cavill like next to it. So, like, okay.
No, they don't want you to see that because they're going to be like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, you can use AI to make Henry Cavill look like he was young and black and white.
I was like, this is doing nothing for me. I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, somebody said, this thing, you know how you read a container of juice and it says only 5% real juice up in there? That's what these movies are. Yeah, that's all it is. But hey, it's fun. Hey, it tastes good.